love stories. I mean, just kind of those love stories. I mean, I just tear up. Marcia and I, once in a while, we'll catch a picture on the Hallmark Channel. And, oh, brother, she's over there. And I'm over there. I'm the man. And I'm going like this. I was looking through the obituaries, and I do that every once in a while. I look at the ones in Midland, Michigan. I grew up in Midland. And I look at the ones in Elkton, South Dakota. I look at the ones in Great Falls, Montana. And the other day I came across this, Errol and Irma Wynn Spicer Davis obituary. And I thought, now isn't that strange? It's not only just the husband, it's also the wife. Listen to this. Errol passed away Monday morning, October the 15th, 2012, at Mid-Michigan Stratford Village at the age of 85. Then I dropped down. Irma Wynn passed away Wednesday afternoon, October 17th, 2012, at Mid-Michigan Medical Center, Midland, at 79. And I didn't catch this. I wanted to show this, but I've heard this many times where the person dies and the wife just dies right along with it, or opposite. And I didn't realize it until today. Tonight I was just sitting there. I just want to go over it one more time. And on the side it says guestbook, a true love story. They are once again united in heaven. I said, God, there's a punchline, eh, man? Isn't that something? He died Monday morning, and she got up Wednesday, and Wednesday afternoon she passed. Oh, boy. Father, would you make our love so sincere that people would see us and without question realize how much we're in love with each other. Lord, help us, Lord Jesus, to work out those idiosyncrasies, those little things that seem so big sometimes, which are nothing, that we would overcome Satan and the devil and say this marriage is going to last forever. Lord, now bless this time in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. If you're looking for some marriage counseling or marriage, may I say, principles, you'll find this in Ephesians chapter 5. The key word all through that chapter 5 for the man is what? Sacrifice. 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 Jesus sacrificed for his church. Man to sacrifice to his wife. Christ is the head of the church, the Savior of the body. Husbands, love your wife, even as Christ also loved the church, gave himself for it, sought man to love his wife as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. I'm very selfish when I love my wife. Sorry, that's just the way it is. God said I can be that way. God said I'm supposed to be selfish about this situation I'm in. I talked to a man today, and he was. We were meeting. My son was meeting my son Casey, and I were meeting with this man a little bit, and he said, "So, how long have you been married?" I said, 43 years, going on 44." He said, "Wow!" I said, "I know you don't believe that. I don't look over 25." But he said, "Man, congratulations!" And I wanted to say to him, there shouldn't be any congratulations. That's the way it all should be. I'm so sick and tired of people getting so excited about someone taking care of his wife because she's sick. Let me tell you something. That is a responsibility that when I stood before my father and my brother-in-law, who were the double clergy on that stand, they wanted to make sure it took key, man. And I stood there and I held that little girl's hand, that little blonde-haired Norwegian little girl's hand, and I promised to love her and to care for her in sickness and in health. Amen. To rich or for poor. Man, we've done that one, amen. Yeah. Till death do us part. Amen. So why should we... why should there be any question about that? Why should somebody go, yay, 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 happy day, happy day? It's like when people win people to Jesus Christ, you shouldn't be excited about it. That's our duty. That's what we're supposed to do. God said, hey, I'm not going to give you nothing big about that. I told you to do that. That's your job. That's why I left you on planet Earth. Why should we just be so excited about people doing what they're supposed to do? That's like the guy going down to McDonald's and says, hey, buddy, you're sure doing a good job flipping hamburgers. Yeah. Duh, that's what I pay you. That's what you're paid for. That's not extraordinary stuff. Now, if you go out and start picking up stuff and it's not your job and you're doing it and you're fixing this up and doing something like that, then they can give you some kudos, amen? But as a Christian life and a... in a situation that we are to love our wives as Christ loved the church. That's a big deal. Yes. Pastor came into his office. Here's a guy sitting, a wonderful Christian young man, sitting there just sobbing his eyes out. He can't even hardly talk. And the pastor said, John, what in the world's wrong with you? He said, preacher, I said, I think I've lost it. He said, what do you mean you lost it? He says, you know, preacher, before I got married, everything, my body, soul, and spirit, was for the Lord and the church. He said, preacher, he says, since I got married, I'm afraid that I love my wife more than I love the church and God. And the preacher stuck out and said, congratulations. You're finally getting close to what God told you to do. Let me tell you something. Love casteth all fear. If you love me as your pastor, but let's say you love the pastor that led you to the Lord, I am not upset about that. There's plenty to love to go around. I don't have to be number one. I sure enjoy when you love it, but love me. But I'm telling you, your love for your wife and your love for God, boy, he says, man, I want you to love like daddy, man. I want it to be close. There's nothing wrong loving your wife so much you can't hardly stand it. Some of you love your wife, you can't stand her. But anyway, that's supposed to be a mother-in-law thing, but, you know, not your wife. You know. Boy, I heard some good mother-in-law jokes the other day, and I forgot them now. Maybe it's a good thing, amen. Oh, yeah. Oh, I guess I told that before. You know, the one about the guy, the mother-in-law passed away. He's sitting there at the funeral. And, man, all day people come in, a couple of people come in. And finally everybody's leaving. He comes and sits down in the front chair in the funeral home. And all of a sudden he just starts bawling and sobbing. And she says, oh, yeah, you really did love her. Well, it's just not really, honey. He says, I just thought I seen her move. No, you've heard that one, too. Husbands, sacrifice, love your wife. That's it. That's your God-given responsibility. Love them so much that you make everybody else almost sick. Now, there is a time, the Bible says, there's a time to dance, and there's a time to cry, and there's a time to die, and there's a time to live life, and it'd be a good idea that. But can I just give you something? I open my eyes during the invitation. So when you're kissing and hugging on your wife, it's kind of embarrassing to me, number one. Number two, I want to do it myself. So don't do it during the invitation time. I'm trying to keep my mind on winning people to Jesus Christ. All right, enough of that. I just thought I'd help you out there. All right. Let's talk to your wives a minute, amen? Thank you. Thank you for the one amen. Go to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22. Ephesians 5:22. Wives, submitting yourself. That is a terrible saying, isn't it? Isn't it? Huh? Wives, say it, wives. Your who? Own husband. I've seen ladies who are married submit to other men's, to other men. And they won't even submit to their own husband. You got a problem. Got a problem. Oh, pastor, it's a... Shut up! Get out of my way! Oh, pastor, it's so nice. Shut the door! Hey, oh, come on! Shame on you. Shame, shame, shame on you. By the way, the Bible does say submitting yourselves to those in authority, and you should submit to your pastor. But I'm going to tell you something. I don't want you to submit to me when you're not submit to him.
That's right.
We got a problem there. You're wrong. Submitting yourself to your own husband. Oh, I forgot to have you read the rest of it. Submitting yourself. Sure be nice if I found the right place here. Why submitting yourself to your own husband? Now, nobody read the rest of it. Because you know this is convicting. As unto
the Lord.
Okay, bring your wife up here, brother. Put your seats together, will you? All right.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. You've been wanting to hold her hand all day, haven't you?
Yes, sir.
Okay, according to this, the Bible says in verse 22, everybody got it there? Look at it. Look at it. Don't look at them. Look at the Bible. Submitting, wives, submit yourself unto your own husband as
unto the Lord.
Okay. God tells you to do something. And what are you going to do? Do it. And your husband says, honey, could you do this for me? And you don't do it. God says, hey, listen, girlie. You submit to your husband like you'd submit unto me. If the Bible tells you to wear proper clothing.
That's right.
And you wear proper clothing, but your husband asks you to do something, and you don't do it, you're a hypocrite. Yes, no?
Yep.
So sometimes we in Christian life, we get all flipped out about doing things for the Lord, but we don't even do it for our own husband, who you see. You have not seen Jesus Christ. You've never seen him. You've never touched his garment. And why in the world would you submit to someone who you've never seen? Some of you girls, you get all dolled up and brush your teeth, and that's good, and gargle, and take little funny white things like that. Now I smell good. Some of you girls ought to think about doing that. It wouldn't hurt you. Some of you men wouldn't hurt them too. But anyway, you're supposed to eat them and go, Right? And you get all prettied up, and he takes you on a date. And you order carefully, and you say, he said, honey, what would you like to eat? And said, well, what are you going to eat? And he said, well, he looked in his pocket and said, I think I'm going to give me a hamburger. And what do you say? Come on, what do you say, Heather? What are you going to order? If he says he's going to have a hamburger, what are you going to order?
Similar
price. Chilling like hamburgers, I can take it. All right. You blew my illustration. Don't think. This is not hard to think about, all right? You go to a hot dog shop. He said, I'm going to have a hot dog. What are you going to have?
Corn dogs.
We got to go on a hayride. Let's quit. So the idea is that you are trying to do what to him? What are you trying to do to him? What are you trying to do? You're trying to get him. You're not married yet. I said, you girls, when you go out dating, run that back once. You're going out dating, and you're trying to make an impression because you like this dude. I don't know why, but you do. And so you're going to do everything to entrap him. Oh, no, that's not the word I was trying to say. Yeah, that's good. Don't look at me like that. Yes, you do. My wife did it to me. And I liked every minute of it. Amen. So, they're trying to entrap you, or they're trying to get you. They're trying to get you to give you that beautiful piece of hunk of coal that's been pressed a whole many thousand tons and make something sparkly. Amen? Right? Are you learning this yet? Good. Talk to your mama. She'll help you real good. Right, Brian? But anyway, so the idea is when you are dating and you are trying to do everything you can to look so pretty, you know, and walk just right and just dress just right and all blah, 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 to do what? To get him married to him. Here's what I have a problem with. All right, are you ready? Buckle your seats, girls. Take your nitro pill. Listen to me. What bothers me is this, that once you get him married and he signs his name to that paper, all of a sudden you stop doing what you started to do on him in the first place. That's crooked. You hear me? That's crooked. You're a liar. The closer you got to married, the longer your tongue started hanging out. You started panting. And you couldn't wait. And he's saying, hey, I got a hot chick down here. I'm going to get married. I'm going to marry her before I burn. Amen? That's what the Bible says. It's better to marry than to burn. Amen? Yep. And boy, oh boy, oh boy, and boy, oh boy, and all of a sudden you get married. And something wrong with you. It's called false advertising. And I wouldn't have to have one person up in my office if you girls would do what you promised you were going to do before you got married. It's pretty quiet in here.
Well,
do you know God gave that wonderful thing of love to you to keep that man from having some problems outside the marriage? You understand that? Not too many of you going like that. I'm going to tell you something. That was given so that he would not have problems. You were made for him. He was not made for you. Read your Bible. Don't be ignorant about those things. There's nobody in this world loves his wife more than I do. And I'll do anything for her. But she sure helped in a lot of ways for 40-some years to make me the way I am today. And if you keep listening to this baloney on TV and every other place you can find it, you're going to fail as the number one position that God gave you, and that was to be a wife. And it's a terrible thing to fail at something you're supposed to win at. God didn't make you to be a nurse. God didn't make you to be a salesman. God didn't make you to be a whatever. God made you to be a wife.
Amen.
And unfortunately, there are a lot of people who forget that, and they cause a lot of marriage strife and heartaches in the home. If you can be a good wife, and work out of the home, hey, read Proverbs 31 if you don't think that woman worked. That's a bunch of baloney. I heard some preacher say, well, that's what it says. Read Proverbs 31, idiot. Just read it. What'd she do? She was a realtor. She's out buying what? Buying property. She was an entrepreneur. She was making clothing. And she was this, and her lamp didn't go out at night. That meant she worked at the rest home. Her lamp didn't go out at night, but anyway. So the Bible says, wives, you are to make your husband feel loved and secure. If you don't, I can see something. I'm watching some of your brains. And some of you are smoking already, and you shouldn't smoke. You get lung cancer. But anyway, your brains are going like this, and you say, well, you weren't married to my husband. No, I didn't pick your husband. You did. Not everybody's easy to live with, right? Boy, she's good, isn't she? Every once in a while, there is a Cain in the family of Adam and Eve. And I'm sorry for that. And that's not the way they should act. And it breaks my heart. The Bible says, raise up the child and where he should go, and he shall, what? Not depart from it. Anybody know any kids have been raised the right way and departed? It's a saying. It's the way it should be. But sometimes are not should be's. Okay? Got that? Sometimes things just... And I'm standing here tonight facing a few of you people that had some difficulties in life. And some of you tried everything you could. I'm telling you, the Bible said, women, submit yourself on your own husband. I'm telling you tonight what the Bible says, that it is a responsibility that as Christ, as the church is subject unto Christ, so should let the wife be subject to her own husband in... Oh, look at verse 25. Oh, you're gonna die on this one. Verse 24. It says, Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wife be to their own husband in some things that work out. In what? Someone says, well, there, right there proves you that Paul the Apostle wasn't married. But anyway. And then verse 33, of course, it says, nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence, reveres, applauds, worships, in awe. Yeah, look at my husband, I'm in awe. Why did I marry that idiot? Where was my brains? That does not change the biblical principle. You understand me? Hey, listen to me. Listen to me. Hey, listen to me. It does not change the biblical principle. The biblical principle says these things. And you will stand before holy God someday on how you treated your husband and how you treated your wife. Father in heaven, I pray you'd bless this time tonight. Help us, Lord, to learn these things and these principles of the Word of God. Lord, I pray there'd be anyone here tonight, not sure they're saved. I pray tonight would be the night that they would accept you as their Savior. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, you're here tonight, and you say, preacher, I am not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven, but I want to know right now. Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. I do want to know that tonight. Right there where you're sitting, you can pray a prayer. It goes like this. God, I know I'm a sinner. Forgive me of my sins. I believe you died on the cross and rose on the third day. Come into my heart and be my Savior right now. You're here tonight and say, "Preacher, I'm not saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven." If someone asked me right now, if I were to die, am I 100% sure I'm on my way to heaven? Am I 100% sure that that's where I'm going when I die? "Preacher, I'm not sure of it." Would you pray for me? Would you lift your hand? I promise you will not point you out, but I sure like to pray with you. I'm not sure I'm saved. Now, Heavenly Father, would you be with us now tonight? Would you speak to our hearts? Thank you for loving us and caring for us. Lord, you know our hearts tonight. They're great. Some, Lord God, tonight are heavy-hearted. Things in life just didn't turn out like they were supposed to. That little saying at the end of the little book that I like, "And they lived happily ever after," didn't turn out that way, Lord. Would you help? Would you help them tonight? Would you encourage them tonight? Would you send your grace and your mercy to them? And Lord God, would you give them the love that they need? Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you love us and you care for us. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Let's all stand. You're here tonight and you say, "Preacher, I am not sure I'm saved. I am not sure I'm on my way to heaven, but I sure want to know that tonight." Music's going to play. I'm going to invite you to step down this aisle. You're here tonight. You say, "Preacher, I don't know I'm saved. I don't know if I died tonight, I'd go to heaven, but boy, I'd sure like to know that. I'm not here to..."